Today is February the 8th, 2020, and I just want to log an experience that I'm walking through, and I want to title today's experience, The Girl Who Wasn't Asked. So it's been very interesting in these last couple of months as I've watched kind of the falling away of some what I thought or what I would have called in the moment friendships. And my interpretation of it is that friendships come and go, right? Some of them are long-term and some of them are short-term. But just because they're not everlasting doesn't mean that they weren't ever existing. So we'll let that settle for a second. Just because something isn't everlasting doesn't mean it wasn't ever existing. They were friendships in that season. So what has brought me to today and this particular situation today is either incidentally or unconsciously or potentially consciously, there is a group of people that I am really accustomed to or was really accustomed to spending a great deal of my time with. And because life would have it, I don't necessarily spend a lot of time in that circle anymore for a number of reasons. One in particular, that group was kind of founded on the premise of our school-age kids and the school that they attended. And my kids no longer attend that school. And so I find myself out of the inner circle, if you will, or the inner workings of that group of people. And so some other things have happened since then. Our kids used to play on the same teams together, and so we would find ourselves together. And that breakup is kind of happening, as often does, about the age of 8 or 9 of your children, third grade or so. Kids begin to kind of find their own way. And so what happened, just to log today, is there was a text thread that went out that was inviting a group of people to come out to dinner, and I did not end up on that text thread. And against the grain of who I am as an individual and who I preach to my kids to be, it severely has bruised my heart, and I don't know why. It's an unexpected bruise. And unexpected pain, because I teach and tell my girls all the time that not everybody can be invited to everything, and that's okay. Nonetheless, the pain of this situation brings about so much spiritual revelation that I wanted to log today, because I think it's important, the learning that I'm going through in this particular season. So one of the first things that comes to mind is what I have been taught about or the preached word around the calling on my life. I have known for a long time that there was going to be a season of separation where the people that were in my life, you know, part of sanctification means to be set apart. But in order to be set apart, a lot of times you have to be set within. So you build relationship, and then God shifts the dynamic of those relationships so that people have looked at your character and have watched you, because he'll eventually use you in a capacity to be able to minister to them. But if you're in a lateral position with people forever, they only hear laterally from you. And so oftentimes you'll find that God will shift the dynamic of the position so that people can hear from you instead of talking with you. And so that is one element of what I know is happening. The other piece, though, that I think for me today is the most important piece to log, is that God has given me the heart of an 8-year-old girl. And I'd say 8, but I'd say 7, 8, or 9, somewhere in this age, where they are the girl that's not asked. The girl that's not asked to come to the birthday party or to the play date or be a part of the team or whatever it is. Because I've been experiencing this with a lot of the kids that I serve, that I'm trying to coach the girl that isn't asked through. And I didn't necessarily have recollection of what it felt like to be that girl until this experience in this situation. So I really believe that it's divinely allowed so that I can empathize and have the heart of that sweet baby that feels like she's not being included. And today I don't want to speak to her. Today I want to speak to the unintentional vibration of people that are the ones that are asked. And I want to say that you're forgiven, that I don't believe that it's ever intentional that anybody would exclude, not good people anyway. There are some people that would do it, but not good people on purpose. But just because you didn't do it with intention doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. And so no harm, no foul. There are no hard feelings. It's one of those things that if you're the person that is the outcast, for lack of a better word, you have to learn how to process those emotions and what you choose to do with it and how you choose to move forward and walk forward with it. But in that process, it doesn't mean that the pain subsides or goes away altogether. It still hurts. And so I would ask that you would just not sympathize, but empathize, just to recall if there's ever been a time in your life where you were the person that was not asked. I don't know that anything needs to change, right? So I don't know that I'm suggesting that we try to be more intentional about being all inclusive, because I think that becomes overbearing and laborious, and then the relationships are not authentic. I'm not asking even for an apology, because I think you have to do something with wrong intention to even elicit an apology. And I don't think that this happened, or even for my girls that it's been happening to, that it's been explicit and intentional. I just think that we have to pause and just remember, right? And sit in those emotions, whether you're the insider or the outsider, to be okay with that. It builds an ability for me to empathize with the girl that's not asked and to say, you know, baby girl, I can't invite you to the party that you weren't invited to, but I can sit with you in this moment and I can feel your heart and I can hold you and I can hug you and I can tell you that you're still amazing. That not being a part of something that's happening in that moment doesn't mean that you're any less you. I want to give a shout out to somebody that their words are ringing so loud in my ear right now. And this person may not even remember me, but I had the opportunity to walk through a part of life's journey with a girl named Shamika that I used to work with. And she told me something one day when we were traveling. I was just complimenting her on her confidence, right? And how she walks through life and how she can, how she so, it seems like effortlessly makes up her own mind and has, you know, makes her own decisions and is not off put by whatever's happening with other people. And I was just admiring that, because my whole life that has been a struggle. Like, my people don't necessarily know this unless you know me deeply, but being a people pleaser is probably one of my most critical character flaws. And so I was admiring her, the fact that she's not that. And we were talking about it, and she said to me, well, Chastity, the reason that I'm that way is because I left my parents' house whole. And those words ring in my ear today. What does it mean to leave your parents' house whole? My interpretation of that, today also marks Father-Daughter Dance Day of 2020. And as I'm watching my girls prepare and be so excited and help their dad pick out what he's wearing, and he is saying the most amazing things to them, and I'm saying the most amazing things to them, and just reminding them of all that they are and who that they are, my prayer and my hope for my girls today is that they will leave our house whole. When I reflect on my own life, I know that when I left home to begin my adult journey, I was not whole. And so I have tried to fill that vacancy with other people's approval or admiration or desire to be around me to validate who I am, because the validation of both parts, mom and dad, were non-existent for me. My mom was there to validate me. My dad was absent. My dad is very present now, but in those moments as a young girl, that 8 or 9, I didn't have that. And I didn't understand the value of it or the necessity of it. I thought it was okay to walk through life. And now what I know is that this emptiness that I feel because I just wasn't included on that message is because I wasn't whole. It has nothing to do with the people that unintentionally excluded me, or intentionally for that matter. If I've ever been intentionally left out, that's okay too, because how I receive that has nothing to do with those people. It has everything to do with my wholeness. And so my prayer for my girls as they begin their own life's journey is that what Reggie and I have invested in them makes them whole, that they come to know who they are in Christ and who they are just in and of themselves, who God created them to be, and that when they leave our home, they leave our home whole. And so today I pray for the girl who wasn't asked, that if she's not whole, that she would be made whole. And I pray for the girl who didn't ask, that she too, if she's doing that or has made that decision, that she is whole. Because a whole person can begin to empathize with those that are not, and can understand their position and their positional authority in the lives of people that are partially empty or completely empty. I just wanted to log what was going on in my heart today, because I think it's profound. To my 7, 8, and 9-year-old girls that God has blessed me to pour into your lives, I pray that I can begin, that I can be used to be a part of filling any void that might exist for whatever reason in your life, so that as you enter into adulthood, you too can be found whole. To Shamika, thank you for those words, and thank you to your parents whom I've never met, for ensuring that you left their house whole, so much so that you were able to share that as a testimony that has stuck with me over these last couple of years. God bless you all.